In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us.
He is among us, shall be.
So who do you think should take the collection today? We'll have to make an exception today, and we'll have two sisters taking the collection. Okay? Do you agree with that? So in this gospel we saw Lord Jesus Christ crossing the Lake of Galilee into the land of the Gergesenes, and then he was met by who?
A man.
Two men. In the Gospel of Matthew we have two men. Two very nice men?
No.
No? But how were they?
Mean.
Why were they mean?
Because he was in their neighborhood.
No, not because of that. They were mean because of something else. Do you remember why?
They didn't want anybody there.
Because they were demon possessed. Poor men, these two men were possessed by lots of demons. And they're behaving so badly that no one, Matthew says in his gospel, that coming out of the tombs, instead of living in houses, they lived in tombs, and coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. They were so not themselves, they were behaving so badly that nobody even dared to pass that way. But what did Jesus do? Was he afraid?
Nope.
He was not afraid. Even if everybody else was afraid and they would not go in that area because these two demon-possessed men would be there, Jesus was not afraid. He went there. And he stood up to them. Now, I want to ask you, did it ever happen to you that you had to deal with somebody that was very mean, very rude, that was not like himself or herself, that was like possessed by something else or somebody else? Did it happen to you? Now, what do we do in such a situation? When somebody is very bully or mean?
Stand up.
But is it easy to stand up?
No.
It's not easy to stand up, you know, when somebody is bully and mean. So how could we get to be like Jesus and to stand up to such a person? What do you think? What could we do, you know, to overcome our fear? Because I think that's what happens. I think that's why, do you agree? That's why the people, most of the people didn't go that way, didn't pass that way, because they were afraid of these two demon-possessed men. Are you afraid when somebody is behaving, you know, in a very bad way? I mean, it's
it's pretty not nice just to like look at somebody struggling.
Yes, it is a struggle. Obviously it is a struggle for that person, and that's why this is a very good point.
It's pretty hard to look at somebody struggling and like beating up people.
You are very right. They are struggling. That's why they are acting up like that. Because they are struggling with something else.
Because when you're struggling, you're mad. And then you get mean, and you get to be a bully.
Did you know that any bully, any person who is bully, is in fact struggling with something else? And is trying to cover up what's going on in his or her life. That's why they are acting up. Sometimes they are jealous. Sometimes they feel they are not loved, maybe at home or by somebody whom they want to be loved by.
Or they get mad because they couldn't go somewhere and they had to go somewhere else, and then they get mad at their parents and they try doing not with their parents.
Yes, this is the reality. people who are acting out, you know, people who are mean, are most of the time, they are dealing with something else, like these two men. They were possessed by demons. They didn't want to act out like that. But the demons within them, you know, would make them act out like that. So, once again, what could we do? This is a very good, you know, this is a very good start, you know, to try to understand what's going on in that person's life. And Jesus knew what was going on in the life of these two men. He knew that it was not them, but the demons were acting out. So that's a very important, you know, to try to understand what's going on in the life of this person. And then what else could we do? What did Jesus do? After understanding what was going on in their life, what did he do? He said, okay, I know what's going on in your life. Bye-bye, I'll see you later. Is that what he did?
No.
No. What did he do?
He
pressed them out. He dealt with the situation. He healed the person. And that's what we are called to do. To try not to help the person who is acting out for God knows what reason. After finding out the reason, then to try to help that person. To be a healing presence for that person. But in order to be a healing presence, first of all, we should not be afraid. We have to be at peace ourselves. We have to pray to ask God to give us His strength, to give us His peace, so that we could be a healing presence for this person. I'm not afraid of you. I know it's not you. I know you are just acting out because something deeper that's going on in your life, and I'm here to help. You don't scare me. I'm not afraid. I'm here to love and to help you get better.
Once, there was this girl in my class, and she's Japanese, and, well, everybody loves her. And when I wanted just to sit beside her, and she said, no, go away, this is for Chloe and Erica, but I still stayed there. And she said, no, go away, but I still stayed there. And she just kept on trying.
And in the end, did she accept you in her life in the end?
Yes.
Yes, sometimes, you know, people are afraid of another new person. You know, God knows, you know, what she went through. Because, you know, being from another country, coming to the States, coming to Lexington, you know, maybe that day she felt that, no, I want to be alone. I want to be alone, you know, leave me alone. Or, you know, I want to be with somebody else. And sometimes, yes, sometimes people act out because they get too much attention. And they think they're better than anybody else. And in that situation, what are we called to do when somebody thinks has a too good of an impression of himself or herself? How could we be a healing presence for such a person? Get better and get more humble. And make them understand that, yes, you are special, but you're not the only one. You're not the only one in this universe. Each of us is special in his or her own way.
Because Chloe would keep on giving her stuff, and that's why she liked her. And then she would say only Chloe to sit beside her.
Yes, but you also wanted to sit beside her. Very good. So, what I think we could learn from today's gospel is, first of all, not to be afraid when somebody acts out. And then to try to find out what's going on in the life of that person. What's beneath the water, because, you know, so many times we see only the tip of the iceberg. Yeah? And the tip of the iceberg is, I don't know, 15% of the whole iceberg. And sometimes, you know, the tip of the iceberg is very sharp. And not very inviting. But the tip of the iceberg is so sharp because there is a lot of eyes on them. And that's what we have to do. We have to try to see the whole picture, to try to see what's going on in that person's life, and to be the fire that goes into the iceberg and melts the ice and transforms the iceberg into a beautiful, fresh water. Did you know that icebergs have some of the best water in the world? They have some of the best water in the world, very pure water. But it's frozen. And we have to be that love, the fire of love that goes into the iceberg and melts the ice, and the ice is transformed into some very tasty, good, fresh, life-giving water. Amen. Thank you very much. Christ is among us.
He is among us.
Because we are afraid to put up with abusers, so many times families suffer, corporations suffer, even entire nations suffer because we are afraid and we don't want to cross pathways with this abuser. In today's gospel, we saw Lord Jesus Christ not being afraid to put up with this man who are terrifying an entire community. And the whole community knows was terrified of them. No, he went and he, with love, with a lot of love, he put up with the demons and he healed the two men and he gave them back to the community. Unfortunately, the community didn't know to appreciate the gift. They loved their pigs more than their two men. But that's another story. What I want to speak about today and what I want to meditate together with you today is about this reality of having to deal with people who, at a certain point in their life, have the tendency to become very selfish and to become even abusers. What are we supposed to do in that situation? You know, the Lord said, "Blessed are the meek." And so many times, you know, we have the idea that the Lord was a very gentle, humble, and an easygoing person who didn't interfere, you know, who didn't move a leaf, you know, in his ministry, who went with the flow. There is nothing further from the truth. We are dealing here with the incarnate God. We are dealing here with the one through whom, by whom, in whom, and for whom everything was created. We are dealing here with the one who is behind the creation of galaxies somewhere in the universe right now. We are dealing here with a huge force. And when our Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, to whom everything was created, became incarnate, He was a very powerful person. When He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," He meant something completely different than what we translate it in English. Please give me some synonyms for meek.
Humble.
Humble. What else?
Meek.
Modest.
Mild.
Quiet. Shy. The word for meekness, for meek, in the original Greek New Testament, is praus. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, the difficult to translate root, pra, means more than meek. Biblical meekness is not weakness, but rather refers to exercising God's strength under His control. demonstrating power without undue harshness. The English term, the Strong's Dictionary says, the English term meek often lacks this blend of gentleness, reserve, and strength. That's what meekness is. Gentleness with strength. And that's what the Lord gave to the two demon-possessed men. He came to them with a lot of strength. He was not afraid. Once a priest told me that this word would be related with the same word, with the Greek word for stallion. To imagine a stallion. Great strength under control. The great control. So the Lord approached them with this spirit of gentleness and strength and dignity. He was not afraid. And the demons became afraid. That's the attitude that we are called to have when we are dealing with somebody who has the tendency to become an abuser. And it is very, very important to have this attitude and not to let the abuser become a monster. Why is that important? Why do you think? Why is it important to deal with somebody who obviously, is acting out unlovingly towards most people around him or her? Why is it important, out of love, to do something, to say something to such a person, and to do something about the situation? Why is it important not for us, but for that person? Is it loving to allow such a person to persist in his or her ways? If we see our child doing something unloving, don't we say something? Honey, don't do that with a tree, because that's not loving. Don't hit your brother or sister, because that's not loving. Because we don't want our child to become a mean, abusive person. In the same way, we are called to correct with strength and gentleness people who are acting out in an unloving way around us, whomever they are. If we don't do this, as I said, that person will become little by little a monster. The people around him or her will suffer, and eventually that person will end up alone. But with this spirit of gentleness and strength, we could correct and we could help somebody become more like God. It's very interesting how St. Paul in the letter to Galatians speaks about this, and he says in chapter 6, the beginning of chapter 6, "Brother, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted." So to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And I would, out of curiosity, I looked up this word, and guess what? It's the same word that was translated with meekness. In a spirit of strength and gentleness, we are called to correct such a person who is overtaken in any trespass. And that's what St. Paul himself did, following the example of the Lord, who throughout his ministry, he dealt with the situations. You know, sometimes we have the impression that, you know, it's okay. The Lord, you know, this is my cross, and I'm going to carry my cross, you know, with meekness and humility. Way too often, we transform anything and everything into a cross that has to be carried, you know, with meekness and humility and acceptance. And we forget the fact that during his 3 years of ministry, the Lord dealt with the difficult situations and transformed them into victories. When he met somebody who was sick, You can say, oh, you are sick. It's okay, you know, carry your cross. No, let's see what we could do about it. Do you want to get well? Do you want to have a new life? Let's work together for your healing. When he had to deal, you know, with abusive people, he corrected them in the spirit of gentleness, and when he got tired of that, he even, you know, spoke, you know, with a lot of authority, because he had to do it. And when he had to, you know, to pick up the cross, in the end, he prayed, Father, it's possible. Take it away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In that situation, there was nothing else that could be done. And in the end, even that cross was transformed into a victory. You know, sometimes we refuse to put up with people or with tough situations, I think, because of laziness and because of lack of courage. We have to face it and we have to name it. And you know, we just accept it. Only when there is nothing else that we could do by working together with God, then we have to accept it and to put our trust in God that somehow He will transform it into a victory. But until then, we are called to work together with God, to do everything that we could do together with Him to transform this tough situation into a victory. This is what the Lord did for 3 years before He finally was silent on the cross. Sometimes, you know, we say, oh, the Lord, you know, was so silent. He was silent on the cross. But He had some answers even for Pontius Pilate, even for, you know, for the high priest were judging Him. So He put up with it until the end. And in the end, He was silent because He knew that in that moment, only God the Father could do something about it. But that was in the end. And that's what St. Paul also did, you know, to give another example. He advised the Galatians, you know, to correct anybody with this spirit of strength and gentleness. And that's what he did himself when he corrected Peter. Paul was not afraid to correct Peter. Again, according to the letter of Galatians, chapter 2, we have this interesting situation when Peter became a little bit of a hypocrite in Antioch. And Paul says that he told him, he corrected him. I told him up front and to his face, you're a hypocrite. Come back. Become yourself again. So we are called to be faithful, to be loving, and to deal in a very gentle way, but with a lot of strength, towards those who are tempted by the devil to become abusive. It is loving towards them, it is loving towards everybody, and it is an act of courage. If we want to be like Christ, we are called to stand up and to work together with God to be a healing presence and to transform the abuser into a loving person, as the two demoniacs at the end of the Gospel, according to the Gospel of Mark, when the people from the town came, you're sitting at the feet of the Lord and listening to His Gospel. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.